Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I have another guest on. We have shared interest or shared history with the entertainment industry, and he's going to go deeper into that and how he came up out of it and found the Most High Yahuwah, as we all found the Most High Yahuwah in this transition of leaving the old world and coming into his world and his Torah and righteousness. Go ahead and introduce yourself, my brother.
What up, everyone? Thank you, Larry, for having me again. Love the show. Longtime listener. My name is Robert Bumsalu. I currently reside in Toronto, Canada. I was acting since 2016. Pretty much is my first year not acting. Got out of it. I fell into the truth around 2016, 17. Though I've always kind of been like, I guess, conspiracy theorist. So again, like, I'm Nigerian, Igbo Nigerian. So even like when I was like 5 years old, my aunt said that we are the real Jews. At the time, didn't know what a Jew was, didn't understand any of that. So it wasn't until I was like an adult in like my 30s where it, even though it stayed in like in my head, I never knew what it meant. But then when as I got older, I was like, okay, that's what it was. But I was actually raised like Roman Catholic. My mom's a staunch like Catholic Christian woman. We went to church every Sunday. She's still part of the church. So like, there's no way I'm going to get her out of that, unfortunately, in her old age. But I still share the truth with her. But yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
What was that industry like going through it as an actor?
Canada's a little different than the US because of like, even though we are influenced by Hollywood and a lot of US productions are in Toronto, Canadians are more, I guess, they're more, they're not, I guess it's not as still competitive, but they don't take as much chances on performers in Canada as they do in the US. So in the US, say like if someone likes your look, they might pick you up from like the middle of the street in the mall and invite you to come like audition for their project, and they like to break new actors, new artists. Canada is different. Like you have to like, it's a slow climb. They have to get to know you. You have to keep auditioning. Then they'll finally maybe take a risk on you after you've booked a few things. So it's not here. You just go from like a nobody to a household name here in Canada. It takes years and years of grinding. So I guess when I first got into it, I was kind of lucky. Like the first few things I went out for, I ended up booking. So I got into it very quickly. And also I was, the woman I was dating at the time, she was an actress. And so she's the one who got me into it, saying that, okay, like you understand story, you understand scripts, you should start auditioning. And then I booked a few things right away. And then I got into it. One of the first like few films I got into, it got me into the Toronto International Film Festival. And that brought me into like the game, and then I got an agent from there, and I was able to like make some moves.
No, okay. How was it though internally and emotionally? Have you been multiple characters or multiple identities when you go out for stuff? How do you process that going into it and then leaving it and being able to set your entire identity back to default setting?
Yeah, that's what I'm going through right now. And I just had a conversation with my boy the other day that like I spent so much time being someone else or trying to be someone else. And like, so you can't really like grow, because every time you're trying to develop your own personal self, especially with my relationship with the Most High, you'd have to drop everything when you get an audition. So you have like 48 hours to memorize 5 pages, build this character up, and then be able to be good enough to put it on tape or go into a room and perform it. So if you get like 3 auditions a week, that's majority of the week you put energy in being someone else. So then like if I had like supposed to do a Shabbat, I would try to do the Shabbat as best I can, but as soon as nightfall hits, I'm going into like the character, or I'll prepare the night before, then shoot that character on the Shabbat, and then have to like try and repent after from doing that. And so like it just kept taking its toll. So this is the first time I'm actually like getting back into myself and knowing what I want and finding my purpose and actually hearing the Most High's, like, well, opening myself up to hear the Most High's voice and what He has planned for me.
Was there any verses that kept pulling you to come into the scriptures more while you were processing into being a different identity? Were any verses you saw or something that the Most High shown you, but like, okay, I'm not supposed to do this, or he's just giving me long suffering right now and he's going to eventually pull me out of it because I feel the conflict within me. What has he done with you during that process?
It's been a lot. I'm gonna say there's a verse that stuck out, and it's always been in, like, in stages of, like, opening up the truth to me. So again, I got into conspiracy theories around, like, in the early, like, 2010, 11, with, like, seeing, like, the symbols in, like, Jay-Z videos and, like, the industry and music, because, like, music was, like, actually my first passion. And I started off as a rapper, then I was managing artists, then I had a recording studio. Then gone to, like, to acting, did that full time, was also a photographer. So I've seen a lot of aspects in the industry. And then, like, once I started seeing, like, hey, what's Freemasons? What's these symbols? What's Scottish Rite, York Freemason, all this stuff. Then I started to slowly see it, like, around me and around me. It's kept getting closer and closer and closer to me. And then so one instance, I did this TV show on Netflix called The Life and Times of Madam C.J. Walker. So it's produced by LeBron James's company, I think Spring Hill Entertainment. And we shot it in a York Rite Freemason Lodge, like, just outside Hamilton. So, like, they actually, like, put me in the room with the checkerboards and all the semblance. So, like, I just started getting into that and knowing about it. And then here I am in the room. I see everything, like the G's, all the numbers, everything's there. Like, so I had, like, Octavia Spencer was in it, Tiffany Haddish, a bunch of pretty much all the
I've seen
A-list
it. Yeah, I know
celebrities.
what you're talking about.
So, I mean, I played her husband in the first episode, who, like, I slashed her over her head with, like, a bottle and everything. Just, like, the worst character on the show that pretty much, like, propels her to become an entrepreneur because of what I did to her.
Did that ever follow you afterwards? Like, oh, that's the dude that beat homegirl over top of the head with the bottle and all that. Did it ever follow you, or just nah?
No, because again, in Canada, no one really watches that stuff here. So, like, like, unless you're, like, a big time, like, American artist, like, no one's going to notice you. But, like, some of my friends were like, "Oh, damn, like, that's you!" Like, the person who saw it, because of me, they're like, "Wow, man." But yeah, so, like, I was in the lodge. Like, we're filming that lodge for, like, a week straight, putting me and another actor in that room by ourselves. And it's funny, I was going to set one day, and then a car cut me off, and it had, like, Illuminati plates, like, had, like, the compass and the G on it, and it was like it wanted me to follow him. But somebody told me, like, no, I, like, just go my own way. And then, so I didn't go down that path. And eventually, like, when the show aired, they actually cut a lot of my stuff out of it. So I was like, sometimes me wondered, like, hey, if I, like, ask questions, if I followed that car, would I have been, like, a bigger artist? Because I thought that was gonna be, like, my big break at the time, working with, like, a Academy Award-winning artist, being, like, a regular on that show. I thought that was gonna propel me, but it didn't. They ended up cutting a lot of my scenes, a lot of my close-ups, a lot of my scenes with other big actors. So I just started from the bottom from there. I was like, oh, maybe if I followed that car, maybe what if I, like, tried to join in, maybe I would have got, like, a bigger part.
And I say this before on this show when it came to examples like Job or Abraham, like the choice is there. And I think we don't know the conversations beyond that veil with the angels or with Satan when it comes to us individually. We don't know if the same conversation that he had over Abraham and Job was over you or over me. And we made that decision like, nah, I'm going over here. And this is where we ended up. And Satan, because, all right, we'll let them have him and cut him out of the world or cut him out what I wanted to do with him. Now that plan is cut off and now you're here and it's really no mistake the reason why you made that choice. But was there any other type of involvement of trying to get you into the occult without having it be almost a car accident? Have people tried to pull you to the side and say, hey, this is what we do and you should join?
There's only one instance when I with my recording studio, we had an artist and he was getting pulled in by like one of his mentors or one of his people who were financing his music. And so he would try to get me like, hey, come to this meeting, come join me here. And then like again, like even when I was helping produce his music videos, he'd always have like a checkered belt. He'd have like stars and all this symbolism. He'd have like a kind of like a almost like a Baphomet ring. And then so I was trying to like, hey, like I think you're like your mentor's trying to like pull you into this. You should like get out of it. And eventually we just stopped communicating. So I don't know if he's still in it or not, but I know he's out of music, but he's doing some other like business adventures and he's speaking all over the world. So he might be fully into it. I'm not too sure, but he tried to get me into it and I just kind of said no, and I tried to pull him out. And then because of that, we just stopped talking.
Okay. I had a side conversation and this popped up into my head, and I've always wanted to know and see if anyone had this answer that was actually in the industry. And since you're the first person, especially being Nigerian and not of this country, why do you believe that they seek out more Nigerians, whether it be from Toronto, UK or Europe? Why do they seek you out to play African American roles based on African American characters?
Because I can speak for this, because we are also, first of all, like we are the Hebrews, especially in Nigeria, like Igbos, like that's how that's known to us. But a lot of us don't know it, and all of us are like very like Christian, very Catholic. Also, the work ethic, because we're not in the States, we have to work 10 times as hard just to get like half as much. And then because we're so desperate to get put on, and we work very hard. We'll do anything. Like so, that's why they want that. That's why again, like two of the biggest black actors in Toronto. One of them is Stephon James, who played Jesse Owens in Race. He also played I think he was in Selma as well. So like a lot of these, they always pick like Canadians and Europeans to play these characters because of like we'll do it and we don't have that direct connection to the Black American experience, so we don't feel like we're representing like a whole nation of people, like the descendants of slavery. We're just taking just we're looking at the role and we're trying to make that as pure as possible without all that historical context behind it,
Okay. Well,
in my opinion.
that makes a lot of much a lot of sense, a lot of much sense of why they do that. Do you feel like it was like a hazing kind of culture for you guys being outside that experience, or because they just are, I'm just saying that they just take advantage of your work ethic and make you do anything. You don't know if you're being hazed or not.
Yeah, you don't know at all. Again, I never reached those big levels. But I do know the hazing that we go through now, which I've rejected, was they try to get you to do a lot of gay roles. So like I've been offered. So getting an offer is like a big deal. It means you don't have to audition. They're just like request like production is requesting you to be on the show. So it's a big deal to get. So pretty much all my offers were always like gay roles, or where I had to like subject myself to like homosexual stuff. Like I don't know if you know the show Want the Boys. So that it films here in Toronto. And so I've been offered a few times to do like a role where I'm a police. I have to like suck on a dildo or have something like shoved up my
What?
butt. Yeah. Just like amazing, like offer me these roles. I kept telling them, yo, like I do not want to play these characters. Please stop accepting these or bringing these to my desk. And then like having to go through that. And then like one of my other friends, he's a Jamaican guy who like if you know Jamaicans, they're totally like on the other end of that. But his big break was playing a gay role. The most money he's ever made, he was like a season regular on this TV show playing a gay man. He made that choice and he has to again, he's very Christian as well. So I don't know how he reconciles that, but yeah, he did it because his agents pressured him so they might drop him if he doesn't take this role because it's like he's making like six figures an episode. How are you gonna like to turn that down? Like he's gonna get shunned from the industry and get blackballed. So he ended up taking that.
You have an agent?
I did, but they recently dropped me last year, which I think it's It's a long story because me and my ex, we both shared the same agent. And then once we broke up, I think they chose her over me. And I think that was like the most I was doing as well. And then when I could have got a new agent was looking for me earlier this year, but they kind of like wanted me to be like to like chase them and stay on top of it. And I just lost that passion. I was like, well, like, why am I trying to force this when I feel like the Most High is trying to remove me from this?
That's exactly what he's trying to do. Now,
You
having
know?
this relationship, being in the acting world, and then starting to come into the Most High Yahuwah's light, did that strain, was that one of the issues why y'all guys separated, or something completely different?
It was definitely, I'd say, the main reason. Again, we were together 10 years.
Wow.
She always wanted to be like an actress since she was a little girl. And so coming into that, I wanted to support her, not knowing anything about the industry at all. Thinking, okay, like we'll get together. I'll make you quit your job. I'll support you full time. You take the acting classes, you get the agent, and then by 2 years, you'll be a big star. You'll get your season regular role, and then we can start having like start a family. But then, like the more successful she got, the more and more she wanted, right? And then again, like, the Jezebel spirit, the narcissism that comes to being that successful, it has to be you. And so again, I even like I changed my careers. I was working for the University of Toronto doing like it's called procurement, so like sales and purchasing. I was doing that, changed my career, went into acting, started a production company. So we're shooting our own like small films, short films, and content like that. Again, supported her, shot her stuff, started a business. We got a couple shows that were got greenlit as well. And then the more I empowered her, like the bigger her ego got, the more she felt like she did it on her own, the more she treated me like an employee instead of a partner. It just went spiraled down bad. And then even though like I knew I should be getting out of it. And then the more anytime I prayed to the Most High, like, hey, like get me out of this place, get me out of this relationship, like, or like wake her up. The more I tried to wake her up, the more she'd like rebel. She got into like witchcraft, tarot cards, all this stuff. Just like I think kind of either to spite me or just like that's how much she wanted to make it. And it was kind of like disheartening at times too, because she would get success. She'd be like praying to her cards, doing her like her meditations and all her rituals and burning like notes and all this stuff and buying like crystals. And like things would like work for her. Like she'd get both these lead roles, all this big opportunities, brand stuff with brand deals would come in. She was on like Star Trek, the show, as like a series regular. So I was like thinking like, wow, like the devil's real, and like they will like if you pray to them and you worship them, even knowingly or unknowingly, like you'll get what you wish for. And so I saw that. I was like, and she was trying to get me to do that too. I was like, no, let me like double down. Like I bought like a Torah Tanakh at first, then eventually I got a sefer. I started like following the Shabbats. I used to do what's his face set apart calendar. Because you recommended that. So I was doing that for like 2 years. I was into his Bible study group doing that every like Shabbat day. And like she would get so mad at that. And she'd start fights on me like during those Shabbat days when she sees me worshiping and say, oh, you think you're better than me? You think you're better than me?
Wow.
Like, and it just got so bad where like, so when I want to get out of the industry, like we did, I felt like I did everything I wanted to do. I booked a bunch of stuff. We produced a show that got greenlit by like a major broadcaster here. And then I was transitioning out of it. Like I shut down the recording studio. I was looking to like move to like the States, maybe like Texas for like a job opportunity. And like she was just fighting me every step of the way. Thinking, oh, you're just gonna like get this job and leave me. I'm just like, no, like you're welcome to come too. But again, like I was praying to the Most High for separation, but yet I wasn't doing the work. So I'd say I was being like double tongued. So I'd pray to Most High to get me away, but then I tell her like, yeah, you'll come with me. Like I'll support you in Texas. If you want to fly to LA and spend time in LA, like you can do that too. Like I'll buy you like an Airbnb in our apartment over there. And so here I am, like saying one thing to her, saying another thing in my prayers. And so like eventually that opportunity, it went away. Like I made it to the final round and then didn't get it.
So you was in
And
love, bro. You was in love.
it was love, but also like it was like the opportunity like fallacy, opportunity cost, like the sunken fallacy, like because I invested so much into her,
Right, I feel
like
you.
time, money, everything, like, and then the fact that because we were both successful in the industry, we were like a power couple in the city. Everyone knew us. We had like an acting studio too, where we coached the actors. I did the photography, so we had like a full like vertical. And so we're making like 10K a month. So it was kind of like I stayed because of the money. And I was afraid of like, because I didn't know who I was, and I was always being someone else, I didn't know who I would be outside of this relationship.
Right. So were
Even
you
though like,
ever seeking after you went through obviously every relationship when you break up is troubling, did you seek after advice? Like, what is your thing that you would go to in times of stress or times of trouble? Were you, I don't know, were you just escaping from troubles, or maybe you didn't even have time to escape because you went to the next thing? How was that life going through it?
so I'd always like distract myself going from one thing to another thing and keeping like busy. Like when I was tired of our relationship, that's when I started the studio. So I'd be in the music studio like 8 hours a day, unless I had like direct working like in acting, or if I had like an audition, or we were putting up sending for a production shoot, I would be in the studio and just separating myself from her because I knew like the energy in the house with her like lighting the candles, doing all her rituals. I did not want to be a part of that. And I knew like our house was like the opposite of like equally yoked. It was like polar opposites where like I'm trying to bring the Most High into it. She's bringing like Satan into it. And then like, so then there's just always tension. And eventually like what happened is like she ended up like trying to stab me. And that's pretty much what, so I was probably planning to leave her. So I said, okay, she's going to go to LA for pilot season, and then I was going to move out. So this was like, say, like November, December. She was going to go to LA in January, and then I was going to like just move out. Tell her like, hey, like I moved out. Your stuff's still in the place. You have like 60 days to come get your stuff, and then like everything's going to be cut off. So that was my plan. But then yeah, she started fighting with me. Started fighting with me, always trying to like get me to like physically like beat her. And I would never like fall for it, because like I just knew, because even in the past when we had like fights, you'd be like, oh, like if you touch me, I'm gonna call cops on you, and like who are they gonna believe, like you or me? And like she's like biracial, but she's like white passing. She's like, who are they gonna believe? So I'm like, damn, like never like put my hands on her. So like yeah, she like eventually she tried to like stab me. She ended up cutting me. I ran from the apartment.
Hey.
I got the cops involved and then like removed her, and like I haven't like talked to her since. And so I was kind of like, a lot of people like were saying like, oh, like that's such a traumatic experience, like how'd you go through that? But like I was actually like blessed and glad that happened to me, because the Most High knew that like I wasn't strong enough to leave. So he had to literally like, again, like how people say like you fall through every branch. I fell through every branch, even getting to the Most High. Like there's one point I wanted to be part of the NOI. And then like I looked into, I used to love like the Farrakhan, because he used to like speak the truth and everything he was saying. But then like through like your videos and like other things that I saw, like, okay, he knows we're the children of Yasharel, Sherelle, but then he's joining us like fraternity. He's a Freemason, he's Islam. How is he house? He has like three or four gods that he worships. Like, how is he and how is he still alive? Anyone that around who spoke the truth to power, they got taken out. So why is he allowed? You know? So it's like that raised a red flag to me. So then I got out of that. And then I was almost like a Hebrew Israelite, but then it's like seeing like what they believed in, the whole like the chart that they had too and everything. And then like how one of them is like a worked for like the feds in New York and was like an undercover agent and like a Freemason and all the symbolism there. So it's like, but I had to go through each like step to fully stand tall and like what I believe now, and like knowing who the true Messiah is, the Most High, and all that.
So, going back to the very first time you saw her, what attracted you to her?
Again, very beautiful. Like she looked like I don't know if you know Megan, you know Meghan Markle.
Yes.
Looked just
Okay.
like her, and like at the time Meghan Markle worked in Toronto too for that show she did Suits that filmed in Toronto as well. So like she'd always get compared to her. And so like, yes, and the fact that she was driven, she had like a drive and had a goal and was willing to do anything for it. So I thought that was really attractive. And the fact that she was like a hustler, a worker. With my background too, like being like come immigrant parents, having to work and like value education and all that stuff, that's what really attracted me to her. And the fact that she knew exactly what she wanted to do, that's what was very attractive to me. So again, like anytime I was supposed to like either be alone and like discover my purpose, there's always something that came into that place and I latched onto that. So she was like an example of like I latched on to her and what her purpose was and her goal was, and I made that my own.
I hear you. I hear you. So now, what type of woman are you looking for now? Is it completely opposite now that you're in this truth of what you first was attracted to?
Complete opposite, also like the Most High first. I tried dating this again, like right now, like again, I've been celibate for like almost a year now. So also like so when we first broke up back in December 2024. I went celibate, went to like what they call like monk mode, where I just focused on like my relationship with the Most High, reading scripture, following the Law, Statutes, Commandments, the feast days, and just like working out, focusing on my body, getting myself back in shape again. Like, but then like I stumbled because I got too focused on like the flesh. So like because like I lost like 40 pounds, got my six pack again. Like I kind of wanted to like show it off. Let me hit the streets and like. Get that validation outwardly, and that's always kind of been like a problem in my walk, like seeking outside validation and not relying on my own and the Most High, like that, like having that foundation that I was always seeking outside. So like, I thought I was doing good. I thought I was like, okay, like I have the word, I can be out in the streets, I can be in Saddam, like you know, Saddam and Gomorrah, like I can be out there. And then again, end up slipping, gone to like these like flings. I didn't go anywhere. Felt like even worse and empty. So I was like, okay, like that was my sign. Like I went on this date. Like again, beautiful woman, but like one like three or four dates. I started to like really like her. We had a conversation about like LGBTQ stuff. She ended up saying that like, oh, like women should be trans men should be allowed to play in like women's sports. And then I was like. Should I because I want to hit it, you know, like being like a guy, like I already invested like time and money on these dates, like let me just like see it through. But like my spirit just would not couldn't allow me to like accept this. Like, I'm like, are you serious? Like, yeah, I'm like, what if you had a daughter and like she works all her life and like she loses like qualifying to the Olympics because of a trans like woman like taking that place? She's like, so what? She should have worked harder. I'm like, that's what you're gonna tell your daughter? So all this shows, I just got up and left. Like my spirit was just so riled up, like, yo, you can't, it's not worth it. And then like that was like the sign for me to like stop trying to chase these women, focus on yourself. And I did that for a few months. And then I found this Nigerian girl who was like, again, like very like Christian. And I was like, okay, like this is something different. Like, again, both celibate. We didn't have any like sexual intercourse or anything like that. And we always just like talk about like the Bible. We always compare like scriptures together. We'd study together. So, okay, this is like a very like I've never had this type of relationship before where like the Most High is like the basis and the foundation of that relationship. But even though, with her, like even though like she didn't really believe that we are like the lost children of Yashar'el. But then like she said like it doesn't matter. Like if you believe in Jesus, then you're grafted in. Like and she's always about like so it doesn't even matter about the name. Like you can call him this, you can call him that. It doesn't matter as long as you believe. And so that's where we'd kind of have like differences. And then like she had a problem with me like doing like burnt offerings. Like that was her like line in the sand. She's like, yo, if you want to be with me, if you want to like raise our kids, like I don't want like you can do your feast days, you can do all the stuff, but you just have to stop the burning. You can't burn your meat. I don't want to confuse the children. Like, okay, like I don't think this is going to work. And so, like, yeah, eventually we just like decided just to be friends because of, I know, like, she's, and then she also told me, like my goal is to be set apart and be self-sufficient. That's like my long-term goal, like start a farm, like have like, and like grow my own stuff and like not rely on the system. And she was like, she doesn't want to have a hard life. She just wants to like do her job, raise her kids, go to church. And she doesn't care to be like set apart. She like wants to trust the like the medical system. She just really trusts all these institutions while trying to say like, hey, like you want to separate from yourself. Like maybe it's hard to do like a home birth. Like let's not. And like she was just not having that. So it's like, okay, like this is not going to work long term, and it's going to like distract me. And even then too, like even when I still wanted to stay because I never had something like this before, like the Most High would always like, I guess, like I felt the Most High touched me in the sense that like he'd always be correcting me. So like I drive to her place, like I'd help her with groceries. I go upstairs, I come back down, I got a ticket. You know, one time like I slept over at her place. We almost had intercourse, but we didn't. I come downstairs, my car got towed. Like, you know, it's like, is this like the Most High trying to tell me
Yes.
like I should not be in this like relationship? Like it's costing me like money every time. Like I try to like, now, you know, I'm gonna break up with her. I don't break up with her, I end up staying the night. Boom, car towed. Like I got like three tickets, car got towed. So it's like, yeah, I got like that was a sign for me like to get out of it.
I think the Most High is watering you. During that process, especially with the women you've dated, it was him seasoning you. And he's like, okay, I want to see how much you really want this. And it happened to the both of us where we're like, okay, we could rest in this whole Christian doctrine of doing whatever you want and then attending to these man-made institutions and making ourselves feel better for the validation of it all, saying that we follow the Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. But eventually our ruachs want more. Eventually we want to be fed. Eventually we want our own household. We want to rule as men after rebounding from being simps. We all been through it. We all been through simps, that simphood. And I think it's him saying, okay, you making a decision like you made a decision before that Freemason car accident, which way you were going to go. And because your flesh still pulled you to this woman, the Most I said, no, I'm gonna get what you after. I'm gonna get what you're looking for, but you're gonna find it on my time, not on your time. So I think it's really beautiful that your mindset now is being so set apart that you want to do your own farm, you want to do your own raising of your own livestock, or doing the burnt offerings and doing your own vegetables. I think that's beautiful, and he will give a woman to complement your desire. And I think when we take ourselves out of it and take the searching for ourselves instead of searching for him, he could do anything. Truly, he could do anything. So, where is your mind now? Now that you have a better perspective of what the woman you, the type of woman that you want and need, and the career that you want, where do you go from here?
So right now I'm in the phase of like trusting Yah's timing. And like pretty much right now, like so again, that opportunity that I lost trying to hold on to that relationship and being double-minded, double-tongued, I lost that. Now it's come back around. Like they reached out to me, like I applied, and now like they want me. So like so everything I lost in my last relationship, I'm getting back. Double like the money that they're going to be paying me and everything, like it's going to be more than what I lost. So it's like, okay, like once you again you set yourself apart, you trust in the Most High's timing, he'll look after you. And again, like that's always been the case, especially in my entrepreneurial journey when I quit my full-time job to be like a creative entrepreneur. Like anytime like I was like wondering like, yo, how am I going to pay this, how am I going to do this, something would always come through in the last minute to take care of it, a big opportunity. And like again, it could have been the Most High, could have been like Satan trying to lure me deeper in. I try to say like, hey, it was the Most High like leading me down like the path, and you just have to make a choice though. Like he'll let you see both sides, and he'll show you like all the fruits, but then you still have to, even if you're receiving the fruits, you gotta decide. And sometimes, like when you decide, you lose the fruits. And like I lost everything. We had like a $6 billion company, lost everything. You know, like right now I have money like frozen because of I have a pending case against her, like a criminal case and everything. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And so like yeah, so everything I'm losing, I'm gaining back now. So it just allowed me to like seek him 10 times more. Because just see them 10 times more, and now I have this opportunity where I can actually like now I can make enough money within the next few years to then to buy that land, to get that farm. So I have my whole next few years mapped out. And then again, if I find someone, that's just a blessing. If not, I'm still on this path and nothing's going to like deter me or get me away from that. And hopefully, like if y'all willing, a woman will come into that and will want the same thing. We'll be equally yoked and we have the same goals, and she'll fit into that homestead that I want to build.
Nice. Is your mom in Toronto or in Nigeria?
So she goes back and forth between Nigeria and Ottawa. So it's like 4 hours away from Toronto. And so again, like I was just there a couple of weeks ago, and like she has like the white Jesus, the white Mary, all the posters, like I tried taking them down like Abraham did, and she got so mad. She's like, "Trust me, I was like, don't come back here if you're going to like." I didn't even throw it out or destroy it. I just like took it off like the wall, like these like wooden crosses and stuff, and the picture of Jesus. I just turned it around and took off the cross in the guest room, not even like everywhere, just the guest room. And she got so mad, and it's like. And it's just funny because she knows that we are the lost children. Like she was told this, like her grandparents knew this, but Nigerians are just so indoctrinated that like you just can't get her. And now because my father like passed away and she's pretty much by herself, so all she has is the church community. So she goes to church like 3 times a week. She's part of like the choir. She like is an usher as well. She volunteers. So like even she has a group that they go to on trips. So she went to Israel, the fake Israel. She went over there a couple of years ago. And so yeah, she knows better, but again, she's just so entrenched in it that she can't. That's all she knows, even though she knows like who we are and that. And it's funny too, we're watching this show. It was this show that's it's about Yitzhak and this and Esau and Jacob, and she's like she goes to me, it's like, oh, is this story true? Is this real? I'm like, yeah, this is a real story, but they're also like, they're black. They're not these white Persian looking dudes that display on show. It's like, so someone who's been like Catholic for like 70 years, she doesn't even know like the story of Genesis. And she had to ask me, and like, here I was like breaking down to her, it's like, this is real, and this is why like the story of Jacob, Yaakov and Esau, and why like, Esau is jealous and who Esau is now today, like being like Rome and like the Catholic Church. So I was trying to like to teach her. So she was like kind of like receptive to it. And she's like, she knew I was telling the truth, but at the same time, like she wasn't going to like, she's not going to do anything with that information. But at least we're not like arguing anymore. Cause one time, like I sent her a video. I think it was probably Brother Ron's Truth Unedited did his stuff about like the name of Jesus, how it's not the name. I sent her that video. She watched it and she's like, just what's at me saying, like, don't ever send me this stuff like this. This is blasphemous. This is that. So I'm like, all right, like you got it. Like now we just like talk scripture. And I also reference, I always use the Hebrew names. I always say like Yahuwah, Yahusha. And now she doesn't correct me. She allows like me to say it. And then like, she'll still say like Jesus or God, but at least we still talk about the Bible. I'm trying to get her to read more and understand it more. So I'll send her like scriptures and get her like more open because she doesn't read the Bible. She reads these things called like catechisms and all this
Yeah,
like
the catechisms. Yeah.
yeah, she reads like those stuff. So she's not getting like the word directly. She's always going through like the Roman Catholic
Like
lens
a
of
third person thing.
yeah. And so
Why do you think that Nigerians are so indoctrinated? Was it due to colonization or the European missionaries that went in at that time in the 18 and 1900s? Where do you think that really comes from?
it comes from the missionaries, which is funny, which is those Nigerians are waking up, but they're like the fringe minority. So it comes from like the missionaries, and then also comes from like Freemasonry that entered Nigeria as well. Yeah, like my sister, her husband, his father was a Freemason. Like I went to their compound couple years ago, and he had a picture of him like in the apron and everything, and he was like the first, like there's like a yacht club there for like all like the rich people, and he was like their first like captain of the club. The first black captain. Before that was all just Europeans and British men. He was the
See?
first one. And so he was probably like a high
Right.
degreed Freemason. And I asked my brother-in-law about it. I was like, yo, like, what do you know about this? Like, my father told me not to ask him, says it's too like dark and real, and got him like away from it. And he had like multiple wives, children from like multiple wives too. So there's a whole like he kind of like he shunned that part because he didn't like that about his father, how he had all these women and all these like kids. So like when he passed away, like they're like fighting for like his business and his fortune. So like to him, his family is just his immediate like brothers and sisters that had the same mother. And
Okay.
everyone else is kind of like a stranger to him. But yeah, so coming back to like what has, so it's like, yeah, the corruption where these leaders, they join Freemasons, they do like, again, and it's in America, it's very covert, right? You have to really know to see like the signs. But Nigeria, people know they're doing like the sacrificing, the baby killing, the kidnapping. It's very, to everyone knows to be a politician, you got to do the, it's very open. Like the black magic, all that stuff. And so, you know, like our politicians, they sell the country out. They join Freemasonry. They get into the corrupt politics and they sell the country, sell the resources. And so, yeah. And then because the missionaries came in, so Freemason came in, corrupted the government. So the government doesn't look after its people, it looks after itself. The missionaries then come in, they're the ones that build that infrastructure. They build the schools. They indoctrinate the children. They say, hey, your parents who are, especially if you're an Igbo, your parents who like followed the Torah, did all these rituals, those are pagan, right? Follow, like, let's be saved. And so that's how, so my mom was part of that in like the 60s, 50s and 60s, part of those missionary camps that went into these villages, educated them, taught them about Jesus and everything. And so that became widespread.
Has your mother ever dressed as a like a formal Nigerian, like the cultural customs
Oh,
of dress?
of course, we keep that. Again, there's a whole Nigerian community in Ottawa, in Toronto, all across. So like even growing up, I always had that double life where like I was like a Canadian kid, but also Nigerian. We went to like the functions. We celebrated like the our Independence Day. So like all my life, I grew up within the culture again. And then, but like again, heavily Christian, heavily Catholic. Just heavily like indoctrinated in that life. And so like coming out of it now and seeing like Nigerian kids and Igbo kids now like questioning our adults coming out of like Christianity. Even though again, still the fringe minority who we get blasted online, but like it's slowly coming, slowly asking the questions, or slowly finding out about Freemason and how like it was in Nigeria in the late 1800s, finding out these names. So it's like it's slowly but surely coming to light.
Good. I was because I always like y'all have such a beautiful custom. There was an NFL player that's Nigerian. He would wear every Sunday like a ceremonial Nigerian custom. Like he would go through different outfits. And I thought that was so cool. So it never set well with me that you could dress this way, beautiful custom. And then you go to a Roman Catholic church and praise all these white idols and white statues and white saints and all this. It just never made sense. Did your mom have all these saints and Saint Michael, Saint this, Saint that, and like the candles in her household too? Bro, you
All
got to do like Tarot and
of
just gather them
them.
up and just throw them out and act like you didn't know what happened.
Well, I do plan to do that. Like, because she's getting older, we want to like move into one of our other properties. So, like, on that moving day, I'm just gonna like come in and like, and so she goes to their new place. Like, oh, where's all my stuff? I'm like, oh, the movers lost it. Like, it's
Right.
gone.
You should send her on a spa day, the whole day, a spa day. When she come back, she ain't gonna be in the mood to have an issue.
Exactly. That's the goal, like to get her out of that. But yeah, like we're just so indoctrinated, and it just pisses us because we have all this rich history, especially like so our in our verbal history, we know that we're descendants of Gad. So his children, Arad and Eri, they're pretty much the progenitors of the Igbo. They came out of like Jerusalem during like the the invasion of the Persians when they came in. They fled over there and they settled there. And they have like villages, like called like Erochukwu, which means like Chukwu is means like Yahuwah. That's like the Igbo word for you. So like all our names in Igbo all have either Chi or Chukwu in it, most of our names. It's kind of they all have like that Yahoo. That's how you like we know like we're again like Igbo was Eber. It's the same like Eber, Hebrew, Igbo. Like that's where it all comes down to. And so we have all this history, but our parents, they called that pagan. Even though like we are like and it's funny too, even like we had a Biafran war, so we had our own genocide where so Nigeria is comprised of three major ethnic groups: the Igbos, the Yoruba, and then the Hausas. So the Hausas, they're Muslims, and they control they're the majority. So they control the north, and then Yorubas they control the west, and they're mostly they're Christian, but they're very open. So a lot of Yorubas they'll convert to like Islam, they'll convert to like Judaism. So I find like historically they were Hebrews as well, but they again they mated with like the Islamic people, with the Christian people. They just well just mixed and they have their own pagan gods too, like Ocean and all that. So they're very into like mixing, whereas Igbos, we weren't. We did not want to mix. We stayed to ourselves. We were self-sufficient. We did our own business, did our own commerce, did our own trade. So when the British came in, they wanted to control everything. So what they did was they just said, okay, from the Niger River down to like the ocean, like we're gonna call you guys Nigeria because of the Niger. Now you're the Nigerians. Like a British woman like named us. So we were never one people. So that's why you have all these different tribes, all these different languages, and no one comes together to fight the oppressor. They keep us separated.
Separated.
They empower the north and the northern. They don't take pride in education or anything. So they just, so like and that's all again designed by the Europeans purposely. So like they make them in power, they're corrupt, they don't care to educate their women and children. And so when you try to like when Igbos come in there to try to like do their own thing, because they don't convert, all their stuff gets destroyed. Or like they'll take their businesses and then kick them out, kill their families. And so like a lot of like Christian Igbos, they get either chased out or murdered. From
So
the north.
that explains like that whole big thing that happened over there where they said like 100 Christians were killed and massacred or whatever at the hands of Muslims and all that because of that
That
infighting.
happens, that's been happening for decades. That's not new. But because again, one of the Nigerian men, he started an oil refinery. So now they're coming in and say, oh, 100 Christians died. Let's go in. They're using that as an opportunity, even though that's been like Boko Haram and all that stuff. That's been going on for decades. Like it hasn't changed. And again, like these politicians, they hire these people to come in during election times to come in to terrorize these neighborhoods so they can like get the US money, get the British dollars, money from Israel to come in. And then like, yeah, it's like to rig the elections and take over the country. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say like, yeah, like it's been like historical, and so like, it's meant to be. Just they want to make it unstable, and so that's why the Biafran War happened because Igbos were getting persecuted. So we wanted to be our own nation and follow our own customs, and so they weren't having that, and so that's why like millions of Nigerians, Igbo Nigerians, died in that war. My father was in that war too, and so like. Even now that there's still some like people that want to separate, but when the government finds out, they put them in jail for like 50, 100 years to never be heard from again.
So, what do you think about the Yoruba? Because I know a little bit about the gods that they worship. I know one of the gods, I think, is Ogun. He ends up raping his mother, and then him and his brother have the thing with his sister. Like it's like a whole bunch of incest foolishness. What do you think about that Yoruba culture and the water spirits that they worship?
So again, they're an old ancient culture. Probably some of them descendants from probably like the Mizraim, which what I make that conclusion. And it's just again, just it's still upheld there in only in like again in the deep west of like Nigeria. where it has its stronghold in like the small villages. But majority of Europe, people, they're more Christians, and then they either reject outwardly the pagan gods, or they again secretly still pray, still have their shrines in their, they'll keep it like in their village town, in their village house, but then like they might live in the big city in Lagos and be Christian, go to church every week, but then like every so often they'll go back to their shrine there and then praise their old gods.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah.
Fast forward into your life now. Since we're almost at the end of the show, and how old are you? How old are you?
30, I just turned 39.
Okay, 39. Damn, bro, you look like you're still in your 20s.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Like, thanks to the Most High. Yeah.
Right? Preserving you.
Exactly. Because again, like being like 39, like starting over again, like been out of a 10-year relationship, like discovering myself, discovering the word, like being like standing 10 toes on the sefer, on the Bible, on his word. And like, luckily, like I'm so young. If I want to have children, I feel I can still do that. And like, you're an inspiration too, like starting over, going through your relationship, having your son. Like, so that just shows me, like, okay, like if you do the work, you have the faith, do the work, seek him 10 times, you will be rewarded. And again, I'm not doing this just because I want things, but I know this is the truth and I want to live knowing. And I find like if you do that, like you can't lose. You will be like, you will be spared, you'll be like part of the set apart. And I just know that. And like even when I was doing wrong and knowing better, anytime I sought him, he protected me. So like I just know that, okay, now that I know better and I'm actually doing better, if I seek him 10 times more, I'll get those blessings.
Right.
And I
I'm
just
gonna
like,
steal that quote, bro. I'm gonna steal that. I want to live knowing. I'm stealing that quote. I want to live knowing, bro, because all this information, they said knowledge is gonna be increased. Why wouldn't you want to know it? And if you know it, why won't you want to put it to some use? You know, put it to work. Do you think you're gonna stay forever in Toronto? You think that's your homeland? This is where you're gonna be for the rest?
No, I'm going to the States. I'll probably go to Texas. I have some family there. Again, and also two of my cousins played in the NFL. Like one of them still plays in the NFL, and another one is retired. So like they're there in Houston, and I have some friends there too. So I'll probably do that, have the job, save money, and buy some land there in Texas. Don't pay state taxes because Canada, like the taxes here is crazy.
Really?
Like, oh yeah, like you get taxed on everything. And like, yeah, we get health care, but like what you pay for is not what you get. Like you're waiting again. Like I worked at again doing these odd jobs since like me and my ex broke up and getting out of like the entertainment business. I also got a bunch of odd jobs. So I was working at a clinic. People are waiting 8, 10 months to see a doctor.
Jeez.
So imagine like you have like a rheumatoid arthritis, you have a flare up where like your fist is like double the size, you have to wait like 3, 4 months to see a doctor.
That's crazy.
Like you need like medication, you need like assistance right now, but you gotta wait.
That's
And
insane. That's
the
insane.
Canadian government's doing this on purpose. Like we don't really hire, like they cap the limit of people who can get like medical degrees. The cap, so everything's just heavily controlled. That's why a lot of like our professionals leave to the States, leave abroad, because like the Canadian government, again, like if you know, I don't know if you know about Canadian politics, but like Mike Carney, he won the prime minister election. He's a big globalist. He's a chairman for one of the companies that are buying up all these properties in the US and Canada and in the UK.
Is it like real
That,
estate or just companies in general? Real estate.
real estate.
Real estate. Okay. I've heard that. I've
Yeah,
heard
so like
that.
they're buying it up and then they're selling it to like the government, selling it to the highest bidder, just selling out Canada, selling out the US.
So what are you going to do when it's going to be a financial or economic crisis all over this world? What are you prepared to do when that happens?
Again, so the goal is, which I think like Yah is giving me this opportunity to make a good amount of money. Live in a place in the States. I'll get my visa, live in the place where like I can actually like save money, grow, buy property, and then so that's my like my 5-year plan. So I think like by 2030 everything's gonna go to like to shits, like pardon my French. And like so like my goal is just to be as prepared as I can by then so I can be as most self-sufficient and then just trust the Most High. Like I'm not right now, I'm not really doing any preparing, like I'm not really buying goods. I'm not trying to stay in Toronto long term. But once I get to the States, yeah, I'll start like getting buying canned food, finding like natural spring sources of water, collecting that water, storing it, storing like the herbs and everything, buying guns that like, you can't do in Toronto and Canada. So I'll be able to get the firearms, get the homestead going, and yeah, and getting like off-grid living. And then finding like-minded individuals who are in the word, in the Torah, into the scripture, who want the same things and try and get like build a community like that.
All right, my bro. This is the last few minutes of the show. What do the people need to know, especially young brothers like yourself, 39, starting all over again? The Most High is removing that palmer worm, that locust, that canker worm that's no longer eating up your time, your energy, and your money anymore. What can you say to that same brother in your situation?
I'll say a few things. So first is again, trust Yahuwah's timing. Trust the season that you're in. If you're being corrected and you're constantly bumping your head, which I was, ignoring what I knew to be true, double down on that. If you're in a relationship and you realize, hey, like we're not going to be equally yoked, I'm trying to wake her up. Eventually, you got to cut your ties. Like you did that. You had that woman that was into the sororities. You had to, you cut her off, and then boom, look at that. Fast forward, you got your blessing, you got a son to take down your like your name and like your legacy and pass that forward. So I tell this to young men, like, get out of that. Recognize that Jezebel spirit, if that's in your woman. Obviously, like even the Bible says try once, try twice, maybe a third time, but then like you gotta cut it off. I didn't cut off. I was forced out. Like, and it was a traumatic experience. I could have lost my life. I could have died. Like, she cut me, like, tried to stab me. Like, I was forced to get out of that. So it's like, get out now. Trust the Most High's timing. And once you find him, seek him 10 times more. And just trust that if you're meant to have a woman that's supposed to be equally yoked with, it will happen. Don't have to hold on. Forget about the sunken cost fallacy. Forget about what you invested. Whatever you lose in that relationship, the Most High will get that back to you. I'm living proof of that. I'm in that season right now where I'm getting back to him and I'm seeing the fruits already. And I'm still, again, I'm still like a, I want to say I'm a baby in the walk, but I'm like a kid. Like,
Like you ain't no infant,
I'm not an infant, but like I'm a, I'm not a
you up
toddler.
walking.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like a preteen.
Okay, nice. And thank you, my brother, for coming on the show and especially contacting me. You had a very beautiful story, a story that will definitely vibrate with those who are listening, who are in the same situation you are, especially when it comes to the women, their career, and learning how to let go and trust in the Most High Yah is what he wanted for all the men of Yah Sharel. So I appreciate you, my brother, for sharing your story.
Of course, thanks for having me. Definitely a blessing. You're an inspiration. Like I see your podcast, like the you're like the coach. I see you as like a coach that keep my faith like keep it going. Every time like I'm feeling like too into myself or too into the world, I'll put on the podcast, just listen to it and like get me like fired up to like really
Get back
want
into
to like get back into it, you know,
it.
and to
About to
follow the
run out the
word.
tunnel. Like, yeah, let's go.
Exactly. So I love the rants, keep them coming. Like the rants really definitely get me going and like kind of like it's like the armor and the shield, like and the weapon, like to, like armies for this world. So keep it up. You're definitely making a difference, man. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you, bro. I see you.
Good job.